Matthew, your use of crowdfunding actually began with a lawsuit filed after you called out a website aggregator for essentially stealing your blog and taking credit for your work. It's a really interesting story that made your crowdfunding the Nikola Tesla Museum on Long Island so much easier for you and really very quick to accomplish.
This lawyer was demanding I pay $20,000 in damages or they're going to sue me. So I thought, well, instead of doing that, let's try to raise the money and give to charity. And I ended up surpassing my goal by 11 times the amount I made. Instead of 20, we made 211 grand.
Was it really your intention to raise significantly more than the $20,000 needed to fight the lawsuit? Did you, at the time, really understand the power of what crowdfunding could actually do?
I didn't know. I was actually nervous that I would look like a fool and I would raise like $8, because getting people to pay for things on the internet is difficult. Because people on the internet, oftentimes, especially my readers, they're just there to read and have fun and laugh and leave. They're not there to, you know, buy things. So when we were, you know, I think we hit our goal of $20,000. I think it was an hour, 60 minutes from launch. I was like, oh my God. And then it just kept going and going and going.
So after the lawsuit, someone comes up to you and says, your blog on Tesla has gone viral. There's this awesome group on Long Island that actually wants to buy his laboratory, but they need $850,000 to get a match from the state of New York to do so. Matthew, this wasn't people paying to see a product made or something they could tangibly, you know, touch and buy. However, your followers and lovers of Tesla went crazy after you started the drive online, and people started giving sight unseen in massive numbers.
I did not expect the volume and the speed and the international coverage. That was really cool. I mean, we were raising $27,000 an hour at our peak, and that was just nuts, seeing people. And like you said, this wasn't people raising money. Like, for instance, a lot of the early Kickstarter projects were people who wanted to see a video game get made or a movie get made. These people wanted to see a museum get made for an inventor who's been dead for 70 years. Like, how do you get people interested in a dead inventor? Like, that is, I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think anybody could do it, but
now that you've been dubbed this philanthropic powerhouse, can you really go back to making funny and sometimes crude comics? I mean, they are your bread and butter on The Oatmeal, but with your ability to spearhead an issue and tap into your thousands of readers with just a comic or web post, can you really ever go back to making crude but funny comics?
And my work has changed, too, in that regard. I remember the first couple of comics I did in my career were, they're almost just these random nouns strung together, like 8 ways to tell if your family's plotting to eat you, and things along those lines, why you shouldn't give crack cocaine to a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And now it's kind of gone into things about Nikola Tesla, things about life, religion, science. I think it's a good progression, but yeah, it's definitely changed. So.
Public Radio, Matthew, has been trying to master fundraising for decades. With what you know about crowdsourcing online and crowdfunding online, what could Public Radio take from your experience to possibly retool or redevelop our fundraising methods?
Could a public radio station start an Indiegogo campaign? Because then you'd have, you know, part of the appeal of these campaigns is visually you can see if I donate $5, I get this. If I donate $10, I get that. There's perks. There's a clear goal that they can visually see rather than just getting on the radio and saying, you know, we need 50 grand, we're at 38. Instead, you can see an actual bar graph of how close you are. That might be a way to go, you know. With my cases, too, they were so special because I had, in both of them, I had a kind of a clear villain and a clear hero.
That was Matthew Inman, creator of the webcomic The Oatmeal. I spoke to him in Denver. For KUNC, I'm Nathan Heffel.